This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
There will be on the non-relaxed brain show no self-congratulations.
No, I think those guys are, you know, good, easy. We talk about it. You know, I got full support from them. I've gotten texts or calls or people coming up to me, you know, with this situation that just happened, coming up to me and saying, we got your back. We're with you. Things like that. And let's go. That kind of mindset and attitude has been what it's been this past couple of days, that's kind of what it's only been.
All right, nice. Everybody's got Caleb's back, as far as we know. Externally, certainly, but we'll see how this all manifests itself now. And one of the people we know who has expressed some frustration with the offense, with his own level of production, and he's been talked about for odd reasons 4 or 5 times already this season, just things we questioned. Did we see that or did that happen? Why did that happen? Well, let's hear now at length from Bears wide receiver DJ Moore what he thinks about this change and the state of the team.
DJ, what's been your reaction to a seasoned veteran like you to all of what's transpired?
I mean, it's the business. We wasn't putting out the results that we needed to. And that being said, they let go of Shane. You know, that was shocking. I don't think anybody really asked for him to be gone. We expressed our frustration, but never to have somebody's livelihood taken away. And, I mean, it's hard, but. On to Thomas, and we got it back, Thomas.
DJ, you've been
through a change,
DJ.
I don't know. We might have been more detailed in some positions. Our receiver group and others, but we just got to focus on ourselves and get it right.
DJ, you've been through this before with a coordinator change midseason. How does having a fresh voice in front of the group, the entire offense, help maybe get buy-in that might not have been there during the frustrating times?
Thomas come in every day with a lot of energy. If he's covering us, giving us a look. But now he's up in the front of the room. It's a lot of new energy. He's excited to be out there. He's demanding, so we got to go out there and do the best we can.
Beyond the results, when you said you expressed your frustration, what were you guys most frustrated about with the way the offense was being run?
Just everything in general. You know, we didn't score in like 3 games. It was like, okay, now we really seeing that, like, even if we try harder, it's like it still wasn't good enough. So, I mean, that's where the frustration come in at.
You mentioned, you know, a few times when you've spoken to us, like, needing to be more detailed in practice. You just mentioned, you know, maybe the wide receivers as well. Is that everybody? Is that the quarterback? Who specifically are we getting
into? I think everybody just gotta look inward and just do a deep dive and really just learn the game plan for the week and just go from there. So it's no excuses at the end.
So Sorry. Does Caleb have full support in the locker room from the offense, even though, you know, he has had his own struggles as well?
Yeah, you got to have support from him no matter what. He's going out there busting his butt, trying to learn everything at once, and the defense is throwing a lot at him. So you can't really be mad at him. Just got to still back him. Whatever he's doing, he's going to get better at, and we with him.
DJ, from a player perspective, what does it take for this, for you guys to be ready after a change on Tuesday and then be ready for this game on Sunday already?
To just be super pros. Got to go out there and execute what's on the game plan, and that's what we got to do.
You guys have been vocal all year with the coaching staff. You know, veteran leaders meet with them and give feedback. It sounds like you were surprised that they took that feedback, that it resulted in a firing. Is that accurate?
I mean, at the end of the day, the top is going to do what they do. Like, that's out of our pay grade. We just go out there and get to play this game. And whatever happens up there with them making the decisions is we got to live by and just go with it.
Lou said he wants the offense to be more creative now with Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to be added?
You got to see on Sunday. You got some stuff in, but you just got to see on Sunday.
DJ, Matt, his principle is like so dialed into intensity, hustle, being smart, situation, all that stuff, right? Is it surprising to you that like you guys maybe weren't as dialed in on the details as maybe you should have been?
No, because in practice, you mean you go through practice and everything looks good, and then you get out there on Sunday. You know, the other team gets paid to do a heck of a job too, and they come out with new looks, and we just didn't have answers for them back then.
DJ, Thomas talked about going into every practice with the right attitude and the right effort. Do you feel like you guys have had that level of attitude and effort that he's expecting all season?
We could probably turn it up a notch, so we'll see what happens today and thus fourth. And
time out.
We could probably turn it up a notch. And it's the fact that he said, because he knew he needed to couch his response, and he says, we could probably turn it up a notch. Why wasn't it already turned up?
Right. Who was in charge of making sure that it was turned up properly?
That's usually the head coach. How many times are we going to hear about practice issues?
Well, we keep hearing about them. Why would we stop at this point?
Results. Look, Sunday. Just fast forward to Sunday. I want to hear them talk, but I want to see them play more than I want to hear them talk.
About it that way.
Matt Eberflus said on Monday one of the primary things he was looking to change was the in-game communication. What do you think was lacking? Even speaking from like a coordinator, like a play caller perspective, what do you think was lacking with the in-game communication from play caller to players?
I want to say probably like when we want to call, or it's probably like a drive too late, or like we wanted to make adjustments and we just wait till halftime to make it, and then we don't get the same look. So I can see what he mean by that right there.
DJ, you said that, you know, you support Caleb. You said, you know, we have to support Caleb, kind of good, bad, or indifferent. How do you balance the frustration of maybe things not connecting, knowing that he is still going to keep playing because he's the number one overall pick and he needs to get reps?
Yeah, me and Caleb was talking yesterday. I mean, he's in a good space and I'm in a good space. So all the connections around the offense is going to get better with time, and the time is now. So I think he knows that. I think everybody else in the room knows that, and it's going to work.
All right. That is DJ Moore.
So, I'm sorry. Waiting until halftime make adjustments?
That
is how you lose games.
The idea of a play coming in a drive too late? Like, oh, that's the one we wanted to run last drive.
That's all very problematic because what happens then is a defensive coordinator on the other side, of course, he's keeping it fresh, freshly stocked. New stuff is ready to go. And you're on back order.
Supply chain issues.
Yeah, supply chain issues.
Supply chain issues. They can't get the good plays in yet. Way to go, Biden.
Because you're too busy getting in the plays with the formations that don't make sense. This is what concerns me. So let me get this straight. Based on Stacey Dale's reporting, they don't have a first 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Cole Kmet kind of backed that up by saying, typically your first 15 changes anyway. I don't care. Me personally, I still say have a script, throw it out if you need to, whatever. So there was some backup there. Then we know that the practices aren't going well. Now we hear the team's number one receivers say that they weren't making changes until halftime.
Well, how about this? This is a tweet.
None of this is good. You're on the field. You can real-time communicate with people, and you still didn't do these things?
Again, all of this is on the head coach. Here's Kalen Kaler, and with credit to Dan Wiederer, who who says, why didn't it click with Shane Waldron? Keenan Allen, quote, too nice a guy. OTAs, camp, we fell into a trap of letting things go and not holding people accountable. And that's a slippery slope. Just professionalism and doing things the right way from the beginning. So if he noticed this, if this 15-year vet noticed this starting in OTAs?
Yikes.
OTAs? He noticed it then? Too nice of a guy. OTAs camp. We fell into a trap of letting things go and not holding people accountable. All right, but that's somebody's job. They tell someone.
I think they did. I think they, I literally think they did.
Nine games into the season?
No, I think if you go back to three games in.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they've told, I think the message never changed from the players on the leadership council at all. And then they tried to make adjustments. But much like Matt Eberflus is who he is, Shane Waldron is who he is.
I'm sorry, but you're supposed to have some backstops here.
Yes, an actual process.
Like you have a spillway when a lake overflows.
Yes.
There's got to be some sort of stop here. It can't just be that something falls and it's a free fall. There's got to be ways to prevent something like this from happening. You can't go from having a cough to having multi-system organ failure. Like there's... This is not how good teams operate.
Layla, they checked in with a cold that wouldn't go away, a nagging cough, and when they left, they were missing organs when they left the hospital.
Which is where I take issue with this. If there were issues in OTAs, why wasn't that addressed at that time?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
TJ Edwards.
We were serious about the Bears growing up. Like my dad, my mom, every Sunday. I don't know how many times I've had to listen to actually this show in the car.
Linebacker for your Chicago Bears.
Henry in motion on first down. Off the play fake. May setting up. He'll check it down and it's intercepted. TJ Edwards with the toe tap on the sideline. His first pick of the year.
This is a player's league. We got to go out there and execute. This game, it's rare that a coach is going to go out there and call a perfect game, right? He's going to go out there and it's like, that's just how it goes. We got to go out and execute and make the plays that are out there.
Former Lakes Community High School quarterback.
Edwards back to pass. Going deep. Down the middle. He's got Spencer and he makes the catch at the 40.
TJ Edwards with Bernstein and Harris on the score.
Let's talk some football with TJ Edwards. He is on Twitter at TJ Edwards, the number 8, and the Bears linebacker is with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Hey, TJ, what's going on, man?
What's going on?
Well, when did you find out about the change at offensive coordinator, and how did you find out?
So obviously today's our off day, so we don't have anything officially scheduled for today. So we kind of saw it as news broke and things like that. But again, you know, that stuff's kind of out of my control. I know I got to show up tomorrow and get to work, man. It's kind of how that goes.
Were you expecting it or surprised at all?
I mean, I feel like, you know, since I've been in this this league for a little bit of time now, you kind of understand that things happen, man. You don't necessarily know exactly what's going to happen. But again, it's something to where, you know, when things do happen like this, you gotta figure out how to respond. And for me personally, you know, nothing to my approach changes. I know I'm gonna come in here tomorrow and get to work, and we'll get everything else sorted out.
I know sometimes players, you know, you might have sympathy for a guy or empathy for somebody, or you understand how the coaching carousel can work. I know that you take a lot of responsibility for your job, especially on the defensive side and what you bring to games. But do you think sometimes like players do look inward a little bit when something like that can happen?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Because I know, right. It's a league where you're being evaluated every single day, you know, from your practice on Wednesday to your game on Sunday. Like that's, you know, how you are in meetings, how you carry yourself, all those things you're being evaluated on. And, you know, at the end of the day, you build relationships with everyone in here. And if you're a human like we all are and people, you know, we care, you want everyone to succeed. So, you know, when guys get traded, people get cut in camp, things like this happen, you have sympathy because you're a human, right? You care about people. It's kind of how we do things here. We build those relationships. And, but at the end of the day, you know, we have a job to do and we got to focus on, you know, whatever moves are made, that's kind of out of our control. And we got to come in here and find a way to win this game this week. That's really where my head's at.
TJ, multiple offensive players have made public comments to the effect of practices need to be, little things need to be policed more accountability for small mistakes, whether it is a pre-snap penalty or somebody being out of position, saying it's got to be coached harder in practice. Is that only on the offensive side? Do you notice that on the defensive side of the ball, especially for a staff that has made a reputation of being very detail-oriented?
I mean, I do think that is something we preach here is details. And honestly, to me, it's a player driven team, right? So I think for those things to happen, and I feel like it's happening more and more in terms of guys stepping up and saying like, hey, like let's redo this. Let's start this over. Let's get this right. You see that happening more and more. And, you know, I don't ever think it's never, you know, one problem in my head, right? It's never just one thing, right? It's such a collective team, right? It's the best team sport on earth for a reason. And so I think there's always things that you're going to want to clean up. I think, you know, the penalties, the things that hurt you in games are when you're beating yourself. And, you know, we always take a hard look at those things after every game and talk about what we can do better in that sense. And it does start with practice, right? That is literally where we get our prep for the game. And, you know, those things definitely have a direct correlation to one another. So, you know, I think there's a lot of areas that we can be better. And I feel like we're trying to find ways to make sure that happens. But I do think we also understand that there needs to be a sense of urgency with that as well, because, you know, the division is starting and it's time for us to play our best football, and we have to.
How would you describe the contrast between how practices were at the beginning of the year, post some of the meetings that came out that, you know, guys asked to be coached harder, and now in this current three-game stretch since the bye?
I feel like when you're losing, you know, you look at every single thing that you do and try and figure out what you can do better. So you look at operation, you look at, you know, what we're talking about in meetings, the plays we're scripting in practice. You talk about everything so that we can have our best chance to win on Sunday. And that's what I think. That's truly what it is. I think, you know, especially in the stretch they're in right now, it's a big moment of adversity, right? You know, everyone's wheeling to find, you know, some huge problem and things like that in the media and all that. And for us, we're just trying to figure out how we can go win this game. how we can put a better form of Bears football than we have been these past 3 weeks. And I'm not, that's not to say I think we've done some really good things this year. I do. But it's not been enough to win these games that we need to. So whatever that looks like, whatever we need to do, I know that everyone's hands on deck to get that done.
When you say that it is that, that players do take that kind of agency in practice yourselves, and you say, all right, well, look, that wasn't perfect. Let's stay here until mm-hmm. we get it right. And everybody loves to hear that, the idea that you are holding each other, here's that word again, accountable for preparation in that regard. But I also, you know, I'm of the belief that even veteran NFL players desire coaching. That you mm-hmm. you want, it's comfortable and reassuring to want to be coached, because once that game starts, you're out there doing your job, and there's a trust level that people have yep. your back, and a trust level that they understand that we got you, we're going to put you where you need to be. So it makes me wonder a little bit about the state of things when you feel you have to take that upon yourself to coach yourselves in practice. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's you kind of paraphrasing it in that way. That's not really what I'm saying. I'm more so saying I think it starts with that, though. I do think, because we're the ones doing it, it's easier to know when it doesn't look right, because at the end of the day, like you said, the coaches during the games and those things like that aren't on the field with us. They don't, it might look a certain way on the playbook, but it in the game it might fit a certain way, or practice it might fit a certain way that's more comfortable for us. So then we need to go and communicate that to them. And I mean, you're right. Like, I think, you know, no matter how old you are, from Mercedes to a rookie, right, you always want to get better at everything that you're doing. You want to be as close to perfect as you can, which is impossible in this game. But you're never not learning. And that's where that relationship is with the coaches and us. And I mean, and I can just speak, you know, for me and really Tremaine, we ask our coach, even in the walkthroughs, like, I want to know if our hands are right, if our footwork is right, all that, to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And we have that relationship with him. So I'm not saying they're not doing that, because they are, but I am saying that in my head, I believe that it starts with us recognizing it, because there are some veterans in here that have played some really good football for a long time.
I know when you talked about the meeting you guys had, we discussed it afterward. I know it was discussed a little more than that on our station, but it's, I know, based off of what you guys discuss in a typical week, like you can have a productive meeting in a typical week. How did you see the results of that? Because I think that's what we talked about first off last week. How did you see the results of that play out, you know, throughout last week and then into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, to be honest, that last week, that was just a bad game from start to finish. I think we got out executed. Like, it didn't look right. And I know everyone felt the same way from playing and watching. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We're you know, again, like I've said before, we're in a results based league. Like, that's our profession. And right now our record is what it is. But that's not to say that you're not just going to come in here and just like, yeah, well, it's all over. Cause that's not what it is. Like, we have to find a way, whether it's doubling down on the things that we know or tweaking things to make them better. Find a way that we can go out and win a football game.
TJ, is it different when you come off a game like that, where it was dominance from start to finish, versus something where it was last second, like the Commanders game? How much of a difference is that in how you feel about it and trying to correct the mistakes?
I mean, it's right. I think, you know, you go from this kind of the stretch we've had where, you know, I feel like the last drive, you know, we kind of let it slip out of our hands, to Arizona, where, you know, honestly, these past two, to where we just got beat, out executed. And to me, they all feel the same. It's going to feel different in that moment, but in the grand scheme of things, like, a loss is a loss. But there's so many lessons from that you can learn, from the Hail Mary to just the out execution what are we not talking about, or what are we not doing, so that we can go out there and play, because we have the guys, we do. But we're not clicking right now. So we're trying to figure that out on how we can do that, you know, against a really good team coming in here on Sunday. But they all hit the same because they all show up the same on the record sheet, man. That kind of is what it is. But there are lessons in each of those for sure.
We're all about to get so much more familiar with Thomas Brown, who's going to be taking over as the offensive coordinator. I know he's on the other side of the ball, but what, if anything, can you tell us about him as we get introduced to him this week?
Yeah, so my freshman year at Wisconsin, he was a running backs coach when I showed up. So he had, you know, Melvin Gordon and all those things. So along with Coach Beattie as well, the receivers coach. So it's kind of crazy when I came in here this year to see those guys and just haven't seen them for a while. It's awesome to see. And going against Coach Brown last year, in Carolina and things like that. I know dude is just an absolute workhorse. I mean, he's a hands-on guy who wants to see everything that the players are seeing. And a guy who truly loves what he does. And I know that he's going to bring some juice. I do. I know he's going to bring some energy. And I'm excited to see it. I am excited to see kind of, where we go, but I know that it's never just one thing, right? So we got to, kind of that is what it is right now. But as a defense, and that's what I'm focused on, is how we can stop these teams that are coming in here.
And as a defensive guy, I'm just curious, do you feel the pressure for Matt Eberflus? I mean, you can't avoid the talk that's happened. It's year three for him. He's obviously going through a three-game losing streak, and everyone's calling for his job. Do you feel that pressure in the building for your coaches?
Another you know, good question. I feel like for me personally, you know, again, we have a job to do, right? And if we do it well, good things will happen. And if we win games, good things will happen. But when you lose, and you know, you lose in a city like this, a market like this, like you know, I've been I've known this team for a long time, so I know how this goes. But I do know that a lot of things get fixed with wins, and that's what we need to do from a player standpoint, coach standpoint. That's just what we need to do, to be honest with you.
Are you anticipating that this being a Packer week, that things may feel different in that regard? Just because whether you think it growing up a Bears fan, we do know that Virginia and George McCaskey do have and have felt more strongly about some of these outcomes than just regular divisional or other regular season games.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, again, just being a human, you want to win this game because it's Green Bay and everything like that. And I understand everything that comes with it, but if I'm being a realist, which I think I am, we just want to go out there and play good football. Like, this is about us executing what we need to execute so that we can put out a good product, because we have it these past couple of weeks and we've seen the outcome. We've seen what's come from it. So at the end of the day, I know it's a, you know, big, you know, rivalry game and things like that, but where we're focused at, where I'm focused at, is how we can go out there and play some good football and go win a game. That's kind of where we're at.
You understand being a Bears fan growing up and coming back here and understanding how many games in a row Green Bay has won in the series. Is that something that your teammates can relate to, or you can relate to your teammates, just how much this game means to the city of Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. I know I was just talking to one of the young guys who just came in here, and he was like, man, you know, not from here or anything like that. He's like, man, you know, I came out of my driveway and my neighbor was just like staring at me like, what are you doing? And he was like looking, he's like, what? And he's like, I had like a dark green like beanie on my head because it was cold. And he like looked, and the neighbor was like, you can't wear that here, like during this week. And he was like, oh shoot. So he went and changed his beanie and came back in. So I think people are understanding it. But I do know that it's about us. It's about what we do. It's about how we approach this week and how we go out there and play on Sunday and let the chips fall where they may.
What do you think Green Bay does that's so effective? What are you keying in on as a defense when it comes to what they bring to the table?
Yeah, I think they're talented across the board. I think obviously the quarterback's really good. The running back, has been good for a long time. I think their offensive line has improved a lot, and they look really their chemistry. You can tell that they're playing well together. I think their coordinator does some really good things, with how they move people around, and they have weapons outside. So defensively, we're going to have our hands full, but we're excited because we're up for the challenge, and we want to go out there and play a complete game. Get some takeaways, get Soldier Field going early, and get off to a good start. That's where we're at.
That's our fault for not asking about takeaways, isn't it? My bad on that. That did happen. Credit on Sunday goes to
you. Good. Yeah. We'll take them as they come, right?
When you see that Jordan Love's leading the league in interceptions with 10 so far, does that add a little something to you in terms of, hey, the opportunities are probably going to be there?
I think for us, kind of where I go into every week is we need to do a really good job, especially, teams that we've lost to, we haven't stopped the run, and it's been that for that reason. And I think us stopping the run and getting teams to third down where we can kind of dictate the terms, I think that's when good things happen. But it's gonna start with what we do coming in here tomorrow and how we approach the week and all those things that you guys hear me say all the time, and that won't change. But that's kind of the reality of the situation. If we can get them to play on our terms, good things will happen. But that starts on first and second down. It does.
I know that you guys lost on Sunday, but how did it feel to get the interception?
It was definitely good to, I feel like I was kind of searching for one. I was pressing a bit to try to just make a play, and felt good to make a play for the team and everything like that. But again, when you lose, right, you just focus on the things that you could have done better. You just want to figure out a way that you can play better, because it wasn't perfect. I made a good play, but also had my plays that I didn't make. So that's kind of where my head's at, and I truly don't care what my stat sheet looks like. I just want to win. That's all I want, and that's what we're striving for sure.
TJ, you brought up the stopping the run and everything else. This time last week, you said you thought Andrew Billings was going to be okay.
I was just going to say I know now not to ask you about injuries.
So do we just need to
Dr. Edwards is fired?
Do we need to not ask you about injuries?
You know me, man. I'm a wait till everything's, what I'm saying? I'll wait till everything's out, but that's not my news to share. So we wish Big Bill a speedy recovery, man, for sure.
But how much does that loss hurt the run defense? And that's where you guys have seemed to have some issues, first level to second level, guys kind of assuming they're getting to the second level at times running against you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you lose a guy like that, it's going to it's going to be one of those things where people have to step up. And that's from all of us. That's everybody. But I do think, those young guys, Zach Pickens, Dex, Chris Williams, who's been in there, I think those guys have done a really good job of rotating in and understanding what we're trying to get done. And so we'll be just fine, man. And I just saw Big Bill the other day, man. So he's feeling good, good spirits. And he'll still be, communicating with those guys to, let them know what he sees and all those things. So I know we'll respond well. We got the guys to do it, but for sure.
TJ, thanks as always, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. It'll be a positive talk next week. Here we go.
Okay, I like that. I like the sound of that talk.
It's always a good talk.
It's always a good talk, even if, but regardless, here's hoping you're right. That is TJ Edwards of the Chicago Bears.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Bernstein and Harris.
I'm covered in bees.
Middays 10 till 2.
That's a tough question to answer. I don't know what's a quick fix. And I'm not really looking into quick fixes. I want long-term solutions to be able to kind of get us going in the right direction. Obviously, the goal, again, is to have success immediately. I'm not doing anything to be a loser or have a loser's mentality. Our players don't either. So those guys are focused. They're excited. Again, we're all in this thing together. So we're rocking and rolling, getting ready for practice.
I like what I hear from Thomas Brown. I have no idea if he's going to be any good at what he does. I have no idea if it's going to matter in the long run. But for a day, for what this 24 hours have been.
Really? You're going to give him 24 hours?
No, I'm saying for the last 24 hours. I didn't know okay. The guy. I don't know the guy. I just know what he said, and it sounds good.
He's from the McVay coaching tree. That's enough for me.
That's good. It sounds good. And we're going to get to this Cole Kmet stuff, but... if Spiegel sounds weird today, or if he's not there at the show, or if we don't see him tomorrow at the Brat Stop,
yeah, if he just doesn't make it,
I have to explain what just happened.
It was hilarious.
The timing was hysterical. So Jake Melnick's, all the fine folks at Jake Melnick's, brought by a feast for us. All of their differently flavored wings of various Scoville units. And there's a burger, the whole bar outside is covered in stuff. So I go out, I look it over, they paraded everything by, and the wing that I grabbed that I've really enjoyed, they call it the poncho.
That's what I got too. Oh, yeah.
Which is a grilled wing, and it's in the marinade, they says it's cayenne pepper, salt, olive oil, and garlic.
Basic.
It's the preparation, it's the char on the grill that gets it, and it's just perfectly seasoned. Awesome. So... Spiegel walks over and he grabs one of the other wings. Looks like a regular sauced wing, right? He picks it up.
Like a buffalo wing.
He's nibbling on it. And then the guy from Jake Melnick's and Shane Reardon both say, hey, by the way, these are lethal.
Yeah, they didn't even know Spiegel had one.
These are lethal. These are what we call, these are the 4X. Be very, very careful with these.
Oh, bring it on.
And this is Spiegel's look on his face. He just goes like, oh, this is the one that I have. And then he starts to like tremble a little bit. And I start saying, ow.
No, you know what? I give him props though. He kept eating it. He's like, we're going to finish the job. Job's not done.
He knew he was.
Job's not done.
He was already dirty. But like, say goodnight to that man. That ain't gonna be pretty.
Did they say what kind of pepper it's made with, or what's the sauce?
I think it's the ghost.
They said ghost pepper.
The boat jalokia.
Oh yeah, like that sauce.
You're
a spicy guy.
There's a Carolina Reaper one too. I think that one actually may have both.
I have like six Carolina Reaper peppers at home. I don't know what to do with them.
Eat them.
You want to eat a Carolina Reaper pepper?
Bite into it.
I'll bring you a Carolina Reaper pepper in here.
No, not for me.
I bit into a ghost pepper earlier this year. Just one little bite. I was like, I just want to see what it's like.
Why would you do that? Oh, you're like, that kid. Okay.
Well, no, I just want to see. Like, I'm like, how hot could it possibly be?
And crazy hot.
The next 20 minutes of my life were misery. Like, I thought I was going to see through time. I legit felt like I was going to be hallucinating. I can't remember if I started sweating or not. I was close. It was really close if I didn't.
It's like there's a blackout and then there's the red out. He read it out.
Yeah, he did. Wow. So here is more from Cole Kmet regarding liking what he's seen from Thomas Brown.
I was already encouraged by some of the presentations that Thomas has done today already, and you know, just maybe a fresh perspective. And you know, obviously he's been here, seen some of the things, and maybe he has new thoughts, new ideas, and in terms of how he wants the style of the offense to look. And I thought we kind of felt that at the walkthrough just recently, which was awesome. So you know, we got to work really hard as players and go out and execute his plan, and we'll kind of see where it falls. But I think everyone here is actually feeling pretty optimistic at this point.
How much does his presence matter,
Thomas?
Yeah.
I mean, it's big. I mean, because he's now the new leader of our offense. You know, obviously him and Caleb are gonna have to be working hand in hand with one another, but there's a lot that they got to get done, and a lot that obviously we want to get corrected and get going with. But you know, we know if we can get things flowing on offense, we've seen that when we get going, it looks pretty good, and we just kind of have to find ways to get back to that.
The difference you saw in London versus what you saw the last 3 weeks from him specifically in the offense.
Well, I think some we were doing some things. I think those 3 weeks that were a little new. We did a lot of that up tempo stuff, and I talked about. And I think in this league, you only can get away with doing the same things for so long. And teams catch up, teams get film, and you know you have to adjust. You have to be able to do all the types of motions to start with, do all the types of motions, and adjust to the different types of defenses. And you know the fast tempo and the rhythm stuff is great, but like you got to have answers for a lot of different stuff. So I do think. You know, teams kind of saw that, and I think it helped with our operation. But we got to be able now to adjust and kind of take the next step of an operation in terms of an NFL offense. And I think that's kind of where things got caught up a little bit.
Before this week, what was your experience like with Thomas Brown, just working with him throughout the first part of the season? What's he been like for you guys?
Yeah, really positive. I mean, he's a guy that obviously, like when Shane was doing his thing, like you kind of go to and ask some things about conceptually about some stuff, and he's always got some really good answers and really good thoughts on things. So it's cool to see him kind of take a step up now, and it's a cool opportunity for him. And I know the guys are really excited to get working for him out there.
And there's plenty that you can conclude there about Thomas Brown's ill-fated predecessor. You got to adjust in this league. Teams know what you want to do.
I told you, once Keenan Allen said what he said about adjustments, halftime, and man, it's just also, if you're in the NFL, it is a scheme league. It is an X's and O's, because while yes, some teams have more talent than others, there's a minimal level of talent you have to play in the NFL. This isn't college or high school where you can just bum rush people. This is, all right, coaching matters.
Players want to be coached. They crave being coached well.
But also in the game of football, where all 11 players that are on the field for your team in any given moment, if one of them breaks down, points, a touchdown, a sack, an interception, a fumble, game-changing plays happen when people don't meet the moment. And when your players on offense or defense are talking about, we don't make adjustments quick enough, you're already gone. You're cooked. It's over. You don't even have a fair, it's not a fair fight. That's why the coaching matters so much on game day especially.
Maybe it'll help that he's in the booth. Maybe it'll help because he's just better at it. Don't know.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
Let me see you pop them things, shake them noodle bread.
This never fails to get us going here on Sports Radio 670 The Score when we bring in our friend Jarrett Payton on Twitter, hopefully soon Blue Sky as well, at Payton Sun S-U-N. WGN TV anchor, host of GN Sports. He is with us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. I'm sorry I missed the festivities at Flagship. I heard it was a terrific time had by all, Jarrett.
Oh, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, hey. I heard it was I got a chance to be there for a little bit at the end, and it was fantastic. Everybody said they had a great time. I am on Blue Sky though, Dan, just to let you know.
Oh, okay. Everybody's jumping on board. Okay.
Hold up. Let me just tell you this. You guys know I always have a story when it comes down. Last night, I'm like, I don't know what it was. I saw that Flavor Flav jumped on.
Yes. He tagged a bunch of people.
So he tagged me. He tagged me because I hit him saying, like, you're the reason why I'm on here. And then next thing you know, I wake up this morning and I got thousands of followers now. So it was like the craziest thing. So Flav and I are pretty cool. We met at the Super Bowl, it was last year. This past Super Bowl. We met, and he's a huge Bears fan and has a 34 jersey that he looked at me and he wanted me. He's like, yo, you guys, if I send it to you, will you sign it? Will your family sign it and send it back to me? I'm like, yeah, dude, let's make it happen. He's so huge Bears fan. Never thought that Flav would be in my contacts, but he is.
I'm jealous because Flavor Flav.
I mean, it's Public Enemy, dude. Come on, man. Come on, Marsh.
Yeah, take me back. Like I was telling Dan earlier, turn back the hands of time whenever. The good old days.
When
I didn't have responsibilities and I wasn't talking about a football team that made me ask question after question after question.
Keep building up that scar tissue.
Without answers.
Come on now, because you're still in the wounded phase. You haven't really built. You don't have all
so,
the
So
all
I
the
ask
scars.
You, I ask you, Jared, what's your biggest question now after seeing everything that's unfolded this week at House Hall? What is your biggest question right now in your head?
Biggest question. I think most people probably be was, is it Thomas Brown and what he could do? That's not it. I'm more excited for him to get this opportunity. He deserves it. Listening to him talk yesterday, he seems like exactly what you want out of a coach that you want to play for. And then also a guy that I think is going to demand respect. And you can kind of hear that from some of the guys that we're talking that have talked and what they how they feel about him. I think the question is how the rest of this season, the back end of this schedule is going to be. Yesterday on GN Sports, we were looking at win totals. It's changed a little bit. It's, I think it's 6.5. And I'm in my head, I'm trying to figure out, can they win 3 more games? I mean, I hope so, but I don't know where those wins are going to come from. So I just, like, how are they going to play now that they have to play these divisional opponents? Like, right. How are they going to be able to show up? And I think this is, it's only right that all this stuff happened all over the last 3 weeks, that now we're sitting here with change that's been made at Hallis Hall, that that NFL team from Wisconsin is here to play this weekend. And can you find a way to muster up something to be able to secure a victory? Like, I just want to, my question is, how are they going to play on Sunday? Are they going to come out, and how is this offense going to look? Probably is the other biggest question.
Can you explain why, Jared, if Thomas Brown was the nominal passing game coordinator, how it makes sense that Caleb Williams said that they hadn't really interacted all that much? How many of these titles aren't real, and or what does it mean about the operation?
Dan, that's another question that we were talking about in the office yesterday. That didn't make sense. The fact that passing game coordinator has not really talked a lot to the starting quarterback. Things need to change. There needs to be a lot of change up at Hallis Hall when it comes to, you know, how they go about their processes and, mm-hmm. and the collaboration to be able to get things right. And I think that, you know, the one thing that really jumped out to me was the conversation you guys were having before I got on the airwaves. And that was just the rumors about veterans, you know, going up and talking, saying that they maybe want to start Bajent. When I heard those rumors from the beginning, didn't make sense to me. In my head, I was like, kind of like you guys trying to figure out if this is true, because I didn't really believe it was true. But if it is true, which players would actually be doing that? But one thing that I'm mad about for myself is that you guys have heard me talk about this. I didn't have a lot of faith in Shane Waldron. I was going to give him an opportunity and a chance. I think it was just because of the conversations that I had with people before he got here that put those sirens kind of blaring in my head. So I didn't have a lot of faith there, but I was willing to give it a chance. But also, too, I think the lack of offensive line depth and how the offensive line was structured gave me a lot of question marks as well. And there was at times where I was getting ready to do the show and knew that we were talking about Caleb before the season started. And I was just going to be like, I didn't feel comfortable and I didn't want to say it, but I was like, just sit him. I didn't feel like there was enough around him for him to be successful. I know you can go get the offensive players. You can go get Keenan Allen. You can go get Swift. You got DJ Moore. I get all that. But it just seemed like I had a lot of question marks with the offensive play caller and also the offensive line. And I feel like the cycle that we keep talking about, that's a part of the cycle with the quarterbacks here in Chicago, is that we're starting them right away. And they don't get an opportunity no matter how good they are, they don't get an opportunity to learn. And my thing was coming into this season was, let's break the cycle of how we go about cultivating Caleb Williams and the starting quarterback here. Because now it seems we're in the same cycle. I mean, we talk about the cycle from coach to then a new coach the next year, a new offensive system, from Mitchell Trubisky to Justin Fields that could be happening to Caleb Williams as well. We don't know. Time will tell. But the way that you handle these quarterbacks, it just hasn't been right. And so I wanted to break the cycle a little bit of seeing how the successful teams around the NFL, especially with these quarterbacks, and I know Patrick Mahomes is the outlier here, but he had an opportunity to sit back and learn, because jumping into the NFL, man, is not easy. And what we've all been talking about is that there was a lot put on Caleb's shoulders right away as he came into this organization and to the NFL. And there's an adjustment to your game. He has all the talents that you need, that you want to see in a quarterback. But also, too, there needs to be a learning curve. And my fear was that if things didn't go well, that we were going to start getting to the point where we're at right now. And a lot of people on the outside, especially of the city, the national media, questioning his ability as a quarterback.
We know about this idea of a coaching bump. Jared, you know, you replace a head coach, a coordinator, and there should be some type of improvement. Given how good the Packers have been this season, is that something you're expecting genuinely? I mean, I've told people if the two starting tackles are healthy and Montez Sweat is healthy, I know there's talent on this Bears team. Why is it out of the realm of possibility that they can win the game Sunday at home against the Packers? I know what the taste in your mouth is after last Sunday.
Yeah, I'm with you, Marshall. I mean, this was one of those games when you were looking at the schedule at the beginning of the season that I had circled, saying it gave me pause a little bit because I had a different mindset of how they were going to come out of the bye to where we are right now. There was winnable games out of the bye that you can find ways to win. I was like, okay, you get to that Packer game, and I circled it, and I'm like, I don't know. But yes, if everybody's healthy, if those guys are healthy you were just talking about, why not? But it also comes down to the execution, the offense. We know what the defense can do. And we knew at some point, too, you can't always look at how injuries are going to occur and impact the team by this time of the season. But you always have to factor that in. It's a possibility, and it's something you have to think about. But there's no reason why – and the Bears have played well at home if you scratch last week, right? They've been good at home. And there's no reason why they can't beat a team – I never say their name during that NFL team from Wisconsin that's coming to town. You have an opportunity to with Jordan Love. I mean, everybody, he turns over the football a lot, and this team they're trying to figure it out as well. The team that's at the top, which is the Lions, we know who they are. It seems like everybody underneath them is still trying to figure out who they are as a team.
The one thing that's scary is we just had a Leroy Butler on talking about the Packers, and he said they're not the Lions. They don't have time to worry about trap games. They're not good enough to even have a trap game. That really stuck with me, Jared, the way he was talking about it. So, like, I think this is going to be a heightened senses Packers team, which is not great. I think the other thing I'm just curious is a guy who's played the game and who understands what injuries look like. How concerned are you? Because my level is at 10 out of 10, maybe 11 out of 10, even though that's not possible, on Jaquan Brisker and the possibility that he's just done for the season.
I found myself yesterday, you guys, sitting, I was getting ready to leave to head to work yesterday, and I was just watching TV, and it popped up into my head. I was just thinking about it because I was getting text messages, and throughout the day, man, all my friends and then people that I don't even know who aren't even in my phone, that I don't have their names saved in my phone, are always just like texting me, asking me about Bear stuff. And I try to respond to everybody, but it's hard. It's always hard. And that was one of them. My boy Mike hit me up and was just talking about, you know, he was like, man, like, it's kind of weird and it's kind of scary. And I text him back just to tell him it is. For a person that has dealt with concussions, and how they impact you and the lingering effects, you just don't know. It's not a hamstring. It's not an ankle. It's nothing. The cloudiness, the feeling that you get that you sometimes don't feel yourself, it's rough and it's hard to gauge when you can come back and to be yourself. And what scares me the most, Marshall, is the way that he plays with that reckless abandon. That's what got him to the NFL. That makes him the great player that he is. And how do you get back into playing the game that way? And he's been out for the weeks that he's been out to, like, how do you go out and hold back a little bit? That's not who he is. And so it's scary to me because I've been through the situation. I've had these concussions that I'm just hoping that, and I'm proud that he's not rushing himself back or if things aren't right, or he's taking his time to get back fully healthy. And hopefully that's at some point. But we don't know. These concussions impact everybody so differently. So you just kind of have, it's like a waiting game. You have to wait and see. But love the way that he plays football. Hope that he has an opportunity to come back, play the game that he loves. And psychologically, I hope it doesn't mess with the way that he plays. But that's one of the things that you have to worry about when you strap that helmet on and walk across those white lines every single Sunday or Monday or Thursday.
Good stuff, Jarrett. Appreciate it. Just followed you and, of course, Flavor Flav on the new site.
I'll follow you back, Dan. Always appreciate you guys, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
With Bernstein and Harris on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Mike Florio is brought to you by AARP. The younger you are, the more you need AARP. He's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Mike, it feels like the Bears are really sort of in the focus of the football world right now, and we're just waiting to find out how deep this dysfunction continues to go. Learning Ryan Poles is not going to talk today. They are putting this poor beleaguered coach out there to keep wearing it.
Well, and doesn't it just feel inevitable that the poor beleaguered coach is going to be the former coach, whether it's during the season or after it? Yesterday was just a stepping stone toward where this is heading. And the goal will be to find a coach, presumably from the offensive side of the ball, who can come in and work with Caleb Williams indefinitely. And that's always been my concern with a young franchise quarterback. Defensive coach, you have revolving door of offensive coordinators. If they don't work, they're gone. If they do work, they're gone because they become head coaches elsewhere. Get an offensive coordinator, tie him to Caleb Williams, and hope to get a Sean Payton, Drew Brees type of a situation where they're together for 10 years or longer.
I would love if that were the case, but what evidence do you have outside of Matt Nagy that the Bears would hire an offensive mind head coach? That's the concern of mine. Is we're already seeing similar patterns being established that extend far past any general manager here.
Well, this all flows from the top of the organization, and ownership can be unpredictable. I love covering the NFL in part because you've got multi-billion dollar football operations that are ultimately owned and operated by mom and pop stores. And the Bears are hardly the aberration. Plenty of teams are like this. There's two ways to get an NFL team. One, you show up with a big enough bag of money to buy it with no qualifications to actually operate it. If you can pay the price, you're in. Or you're in the right proximity to whoever has died and given you the team and the will. That's it. Those are the requirements. So every team's different. Every owner's different. There's good owners and bad teams and bad owners and bad teams stay bad because of ownership. So it all starts at the top. And really, how much has been delegated to Kevin Warren to try to fix this as the replacement for Ted Phillips? That's really going to be the key. Where will they go if and when they fire Eberflus. I'll be stunned if they don't fire Eberflus. And then the question is, who do they hire to come in and work with Caleb Williams?
Mike, does it matter when they fire Matt Eberflus? Does end season versus end of season matter from your vantage point?
Well, doing it in season, and remember when the Packers fired Mike McCarthy, what was it, 6 years ago now, they justified the perceived disrespect to the guy who had won a Super Bowl by saying, look, we're going to start looking for the next coach anyway. We can either do it behind his back while he's the head coach, or we can officially embark on our search and he can get ready for the next phase of his coaching career. So there's value in firing the coach during the season. And I'm not advocating for it. I'm just trying to analyze the league. Hell, last year there was 25% turnover in the 32-team league, 8 new coaches. So we know it happens. It's foolish to act like it doesn't. Doing it sooner than later gets the Bears in play, and everyone knows what the Bears are going to do, and they can start interviewing people who aren't connected to NFL teams. And also, whoever the interim coach is gets a chance to attempt to prove that he could maybe be the guy who at least gets serious consideration to be the replacement.
We've seen the reports out there about perhaps the Bears, and this may not be a Bears thing, this may be a general thing with some organizations, how they don't want to hire people that have a stronger, I guess, say in things than what they do. They're afraid of sharing the power, if you will, whether it's a GM hiring a head coach hiring a coordinator. And we're looking back now on some of the decisions the Bears have made, not talking to Jim Harbaugh last season. You look at Cliff Kingsbury, one of the guys who interviewed for the offensive coordinator position. How much of a problem is that in reality with different teams and with this Bears team specifically?
Well, it's one of the organizational dynamics that will always be at play, because when push comes to shove, individuals want to save their own turf and they want to try to expand their power and influence whenever they can. That's why I've been a firm believer for years that the GM and the coach of any team need to have this same accountability. You can't have a situation where sometimes we fire the GM and keep the coach, sometimes we fire the coach and keep the GM, because that just creates an environment where if things are going poorly, they can point fingers at each other because there's a potential benefit to be derived from doing it, instead of, hey, you know what? We're all going down with the ship if the ship doesn't turn around. So it's difficult to achieve that, but it all starts with ownership. What is the culture of the organization? And is everyone on the same footing? I was saying for years, come on, how does Ted Phillips continue to avoid scrutiny as this GM comes and goes, this coach comes and goes, and he's the one who's hiring the coach and the GM? Everybody needs to be on the same footing. And you would argue that even Kevin Warren, if he's going to be involved in football operations, he needs to be on the same plane as well with everyone else. Let's work together and thrive, or you know what? There's no alternative, because if we start fighting with each other, we fail.
I think sometimes we do need what's joked about as out of town stupid, but I think in this case it might be out of town reasonable. I know that you had a post on Pro Football Talk last night talking about Aaron Rodgers giving his opinion, but there was actually some parallels made to the Bears, and in the Jets change assessments, he also had, I think, a little bit of discussion when it came to the Bears as well. You could draw a parallel. What did you take away from those statements?
Well, and I don't know whether or not Aaron Rodgers inadvertently, in commenting on what happened with the Bears yesterday, shed some light into what he thinks about what happened with the Jets 5 weeks and one day ago when Robert Saleh was fired 5 weeks into the season, or whether, and if he's operating at a next level, and maybe he is, he's starting to get out there what I think will be the final say from him on the 2024 season. How the hell do you expect me to be successful when you fired my head coach after 5 games? Because he talks a lot about ownership not being influenced by social media or so-called football experts who don't know what they're talking about. And the desire to just make change for the sake of change when a team is struggling. But a lot of what he said about the Bears applies to the Jets. And I hope that today when Aaron Rodgers meets with the media, he'll be asked, hey, look, based on what you said yesterday, right? You're in favor of staying the course unless there's some major problem or issue that throws a wrench into what the team is trying to do. So which was it in New York? Did you want to stay the course and they went against you? Or do you believe there was some major problem or issue that required Robert Saleh to be fired? And look, if the reporting is true that players went to Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and said, we want Shane Waldron to be replaced, then maybe the situation did rise above the simple lather, rinse, repeat where somebody wants a pound of flesh, so let's give them this guy. And we'll find out. If it gets better, then it'll be vindicated that it was the right decision to make. But I just don't believe on the surface that things are just instantly going to get better.
Mike, I want to follow up on something you said when you were on with Mully and Haw yesterday about the gap between the expectations for the Bears to start the season and where they are. And I listened to it, and I think everything that you said made sense. But to me, as I'm the concept of the record, saying, well, you're 4-5 and you should have been this, pales in meaning to the development of the quarterback. That any expectation for me wasn't necessarily about the record. It was the expectation that they had drafted the guy who was going to be, for the first time in forever, the guy. And if that is under question, if somehow that is now delayed, or if that track is, the developmental track is eroding in some way, to me that goes so far above and beyond what the actual record of this team is. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, and I think it's tied together because that's when the expectations went through the roof, when it became obvious that Caleb Williams was the can't-miss, no-brainer, number one overall pick, even though Jaden Daniels has looked better so far. And when the Bears embraced that, they still could have traded that pick. Think about it. Oh, here comes this generational talent that everybody is clamoring to get on their team, and too bad the Bears have the pick and the Bears aren't trading the pick and Caleb Williams didn't make any noise about wanting to play for anyone else. So that's it. The Bears could have. They could have worked with one of these teams, got three first-round picks plus other stuff in order to trade down, and they didn't. So once you accept that this is our guy, once you put his name on the card, knowing the hype, knowing the expectations that come with picking him, you've already signed on for that. So, you know, I know what I said yesterday was there's a burden on the coach while the hype gets out of control before a season starts. Go to the marketing department, go to PR and say, hey, look. Let's not get crazy here about acting like we're all of a sudden going to be the 85 Bears, but the offensive version, not the defensive version. Let's try to tamp this down. The reality is the moment they took Caleb Williams, that's when the expectations went through the roof. And yeah, if you don't develop him quickly, when the guy who went number two is being developed quickly, that's going to look poorly on you. And the Bears knew or should have known that that's where this was going. So that's the lesson to be learned going forward. And I said initially, before we met Caleb Williams at the combine, I said, maybe you keep Justin Fields and trade that pick and see where you go from here. Maybe the plan C would have been, go ahead and trade Justin Fields anyway, trade that pick, and do something else at quarterback instead of putting all the eggs in the Caleb Williams basket. But they did, and now the goal is going to be hire a coach who can justify the decision that was made to take Caleb Williams.
I just don't trust the Bears to develop any quarterback at this rate. If you'd put Jaden Daniels in there, I'm not sure that he would be the same person right now. Like, there's no convincing me, based on what we've seen, that a different person would result in something different on the field.
Offensive line play is critical. It gets overlooked when things are going well, because when things are going well, we get smitten with the guys who are throwing the football, catching the football, running the football, and fueling our fantasy points and our same-day prop bets. When the offensive line is going poorly and the offense can't operate, that's when it's like, oh, wow, look at this. We got to fire this guy. We fire that guy. No, you just need a better offensive line. You need to improve the offensive line. And one of the things that the Bears can do as a practical matter, this is a point that Jason Garrett made on Sunday night, you got to move the quarterback. You can't have him be straight pocket passer. If the offensive line isn't going to be good, get him to use that mobility that we saw in the preseason that caused me to think, man, they got something special in this Caleb Williams. He's got moments that look like Patrick Mahomes. But if you don't, number one, block for him the right way, and number two, if you don't get him moving around and buy time that way with his feet, then he's not going to be able to generate the kind of offensive production the team needs to justify the very high bar that comes from picking him. It's just a bad circumstance for everyone. But I think the one thing that we need to assume going forward, the overriding objective in the offseason early stage will be get a coach who will get the most out of Caleb Williams.
Speaking of justifications, and you talked about the offensive line and the fact that he's looked like a pinata the last couple of games, 9 sacks at last check, the latest game. I don't know if the total ever came in because he was getting sacked all the way till the end. Would there be any justification in your mind for taking Caleb Williams out and benching him for any reason this season?
The thought used to be that if you take a quarterback, a young quarterback, rookie quarterback, high draft pick out, you're going to ruin him in some way. That once you go with him, you're stuck with him until you get to the point where you decide this guy isn't our present or our future. But look at what's happened elsewhere this year. Bryce Young gets benched, and now he's back. He got back on the field due to injury to Andy Dalton. He played well enough to stay on the field, and he's won 2 games in a row. And I know they haven't beaten good teams, but until they start relegating teams out of the NFL, this is the highest level of football in America / the world, and you beat an NFL team, that counts as something. And now Anthony Richardson's going to be back in Indianapolis. They went with Joe Flacco, and I made the case, hey, if you're not going to win with Joe Flacco, put the guy back out there who needs reps to hit his ceiling, and here he comes back. And maybe those 2 games off will give him the kick in the butt that they needed him to get after he tapped out and there were other maturity issues percolating around. Maybe this gives him the wake-up call. So maybe benching a young quarterback is the thing that can benefit him over the long haul. And, you know, the report was floating around out there as well that some veterans want to go with Tyson Bagent. So it could.
Do you believe that? Do you believe those reports?
Well, Tyson Bagent played well last year, and if Caleb Williams isn't getting it done, now we don't know, we're not privy to what's happening behind the scenes, how Caleb Williams is interacting with his teammates, if he's somebody that takes advice, if he's somebody that's bristling. We don't know any of that, that how this adversity is affecting him and how it's manifesting itself in the locker room and on the practice field. So I wouldn't think it's crazy, but my point is this. We need to rethink this idea that if you bench a young quarterback, you've ruined him. Maybe, just maybe, that's a step toward getting the most out of him.
There's other stuff in the NFL. I did want to ask you about what happened with Anthony Richardson, because I guess he's cool now. He and the Colts are okay. Everything is fine. Speaking of benching a young quarterback.
2 days later.
Well, and look, I think it was a very simple thought process when he was benched. It's all about survival by head coach Shane Steichen and GM Chris Ballard, who has managed to make it with Jim Irsay well beyond the expiration date of the milk, right? This milk should have gone bad a long time ago with Irsay. Ballard has managed to stick around through all of this quarterback turmoil. Once Andrew Luck retired, it's a revolving door. It's this guy, it's this guy, it's this guy, it's this guy. So they go with Flacco because the thinking is we're 4-4. We can win some games. We can get the 7th seed in the postseason and save everyone's job. Well, 2 losses in a row, 4 offensive performance in both games. Now, let's just go ahead and put Richardson out there and see what happens, because even though it's a roller coaster ride, I think if they see enough of the good from Richardson, that can lay the foundation for next year. And they desperately need him. This is the Bill Walsh quote. Peter King told me this years ago. Bill Walsh believed that if he saw a guy do something once, he could coach him to do it all the time. And if you can get Anthony Richardson to the point where he can do consistently what he does when he's at his best, holy crap, this guy can be special. He needs the reps. And now that they've lost 2 in a row, let's give him the reps. Let's see how good he can be. And the coach and the GM can worry after the season whether or not there'll be a next season for them.
Have you ever seen a less dominant 9-0 team than these Chiefs?
Well, no. And that's what's amazing to me. I thought maybe this would be the year they come out and they leave no doubt week in and week out. But they've almost taken the vibe that we see from them in the playoffs, specifically in the Super Bowl, where they're down 10 points in the second half of each of the 3 Super Bowls they've won. And they've applied that to the regular season, that we're going to do whatever it takes in any given game. We're never going to concede. We're never going to surrender. We're never going to say, okay, it's not our day. We're going to fight and scratch and claw to make every game our day. And all that matters at the end of the day is 2 stats, points scored, points allowed, and they continue to be on the right side of it. And I think it bodes well for some of these games they're going to get into, because what it does, it creates an intense level of confidence among the Chiefs that they can win and will win. It's always going to happen, whatever it's going to be. Hey, we're going to get a good call from the officials at the right time. Hey, there's going to be a timely fumble. when we need it most. Hey, there's going to be a blocked field goal that we engineered. And it makes them feel like they're going to prevail. And it also, I think, eventually affects the psychology of the opponent, because the opponents start thinking, oh no, here it comes. And the only way you're going to slay that dragon is to be up 30 points in the third quarter, not 10, maybe not even 20. You got to knock them out early if you're going to have a chance of beating the Kansas City Chiefs this year.
It's not a knock on your Vikings, Mike, but I was thinking 2022 Minnesota, but they started the season 8-1. Wasn't 9-0. Dang it.
They were Fugazi that year, and they're Fugazi this year at 7-2, especially offensively. I've never seen, and I mean, this is a real assessment. It's not an intended disrespect of Sam Darnold. I've never seen a guy who the more time he has to set up and throw, the less accurate he is.
That's an indictment.
Yes.
That's sort of like my Bears
theory. With all due respect.
It sounds like a corollary of my Bears theory, which is the more serious an organizational situation, the dumber they get.
Not good.
Good. We have the assessment on that. Dr. Florio says not good.
Mike, one quick question before we get out of here. Is Russell Wilson for real? Am I crazy?
Hey, look. Russell Wilson trusts his receivers. The Mike Williams corollary between the Jets and the Steelers, I think, is fascinating because, first of all, Russell Wilson, say what you will about him, a lot of people think he's corny and it's contrived and it's goofy. He'd never throw one of his teammates under the bus, especially not a receiver. And he trusts his guys. He's not so caught up in completion percentage like the delicate genius in New York is. Touchdown to interception ratio, that's his claim to fame. That's the thing that sets him apart. That's the thing that lays a plausible basis for the argument that he's the greatest of all time, even though he's only ever been to one Super Bowl and won that one Super Bowl. Well, if you get so caught up in how the numbers look, you lose sight of those stats I was talking about earlier, the only ones that matter, points scored, points allowed. So Russell Wilson, when in doubt, throw it up. Trust your guy to go get it, whether it's George Pickens, whether it's Mike Williams. I think it's beautiful to watch. And the one question, I'm going to write this at PFT this afternoon unless I forget. The one question I'm fascinated by, the Steelers have this weird rule where they won't do contract negotiations with players during the season. Well, at some point, does it make sense to try to get Russell Wilson to sign on the dotted line beyond this year? Because if he keeps playing the way he is, there might be a market for Russell Wilson's services come March.
Wow. Mike, thank you, sir.
Thanks. Have a good week.
That's Mike Florio. Segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bang. We're calling this the Brock Bowl. I don't know where the competitive aspect of this is, because we're all a big family here in the Odyssey Sports family.
Joke's on them. We're eating all their food.
Well, I think there's plenty for everyone here at the Brat Stop, and you should come join us. We are here brought to you by the fine folks at Ziegler Subaru in Kenosha, or of Kenosha. For a great experience, visit ZieglerSubaru.com and Pottawatomie Sportsbook. And we are joined now by Sparky Pfeiffer. How would you describe your multiple roles at the Fan?
Lifer. I was there when we started the sports station in 2005, so it'll be 20 years coming up in January. Wow. I've done every time slot on the station, every post-game show on the station, racing show, bowling show. So, yeah, I've pretty much done everything you can do at that station at
bowling
some point.
Bowling show.
Yes.
Racing show.
It was called a spare time bowling show. And the PBA tour, I used to fly out to Vegas to do the recording for the World Series of Bowling, have all the PBA interviews and everything else. That became a real popular thing in general. So that was a lot of fun.
Do you have an outdoors show?
We did. Yes. I co-hosted that once. But those guys were a little bit crazier for my taste. But, yeah.
I'm just saying, I haven't talked to Mitch about this, but if you ever need somebody,
really?
If you ever need somebody to talk a little bit of fishing,
was fishing and hunting was that show, but a lot of fishing, a lot of guys on boats listening to these guys talk about where all the fish were, all the different lakes around Wisconsin, all that stuff.
Yeah, you ever need somebody to help out with that, I can volunteer.
Right.
I don't own a boat, but I've been on boats.
Yeah, you bring up Mitch Rosen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It should be called the Mitch Bowl.
It should be called the Mitch
Bowl. It should not be called the Broad Bowl because he's running both stations. It should be the Mitch Bowl.
Mitch Bowl.
That's a very good point.
We could have so much fun with
this. Yes, the Mitch Bowl. Yep. Yes.
Where we
the show ends early randomly.
We start a show and then like 40 minutes into the show, we're just not here.
Mitch is laughing. He knows.
Yeah, like, where'd they go? I don't know. They were here and then they left. I don't
they
know
shuffled
happened.
Right out of the show.
The ceremonial shuffle.
There we go. I don't know. I guess they're halfway down 94 already. So what is the mood in Green Bay, and I would imagine that fans are just kind of licking their chops to get to the Bears at a low point.
I am. Like, anything short of a blowout, I'm gonna be mad. Like, I don't want it to be a field goal game. I don't want it to be within seven. Y'all haven't scored a touchdown since Washington. This defense is getting better. Jeff Hadley's done a great job as coordinator. Xavier McKinney has a bunch of interceptions already this year. I mean, yeah, I think we're coming in expecting a blowout, I think, to a certain degree, and it's nothing, you know, necessarily against the Bears, but that offense has not looked good. You change coordinators. The offensive line stinks. The quarterback holds onto the ball too long. I mean, there's a lot of issues that have to be fixed, and I don't think it gets fixed in 3 or 4 days. And then your offensive coordinator is a former Badger coach and Thomas Brown. So, yeah, should be fun.
I feel like, at least for the Bears, we've talked about how they need to have some main character energy here. Like, typically it can be about the rivalry, but mm-hmm. they've got so much to fix for themselves. Focusing on Green Bay is part of it. But as you said, this is a team that's arguably in disarray right now when you consider the results of what was the easy part of their schedule. Now they're facing a Packers team, hungry, coming off that bye. That was an incredibly competitive game against Detroit. We saw what happened. I feel like if you're a Packers fan, this is the right time to face them.
I think you're very excited as a Packers fan. And again, Jordan Love, who's been battling injuries. He had the sprained MCL in week 1 against Philly. Then he had a groin injury that he was trying to battle through as well. He's missed 2.5 games this year with injuries. So now he gets 2 weeks to rest up and be healthy for this game going down to Chicago. I got a question for both of you. If I said, hey, Packers lose to the Bears, but that solidifies Eberflus to be your coach going forward and they're going to keep him, or you lose a bunch of games, including the Packers, and you fire him, which side do you want?
Wow, that's a sports hypothetical that I think is on the table, frankly,
because
if the
Bears,
much it means to the ownership.
If the Bears sweep the Packers and beat them both times, does that save Eberflus's job?
Arguably could.
It could if the Bears really end up in bizarro world. And I'm going to answer your question by not answering it. What was the name? A Trekkie could tell me. What was the name of the famous exam that they would give the Starfleet commanders? Like, you couldn't have command of a ship until you. It's got a Japanese name, and there was no real answer to the conundrum.
I think it was Kobayashi Maru.
That's what this feels like, and I think the answer is, it shouldn't matter at all if you can't figure out that you need to fire Matt Eberflus last week, the week before, immediately, right before kickoff, at halftime, regardless of outcome, then you're doing something wrong. It's so far beyond individual outcomes, even in rivalry games.
But then he's still here. He's still coaching the team.
I know that.
I tell him every day.
They haven't figured it out, though. That's what I'm saying.
That's why I brought Powdered Toast Man with us, because he made the road trip. If anybody knows, I know there's Twitch Mob folks here who have already introduced themselves, who I don't think are real. They're actually holograms. There's nobody on the Twitch Mob's actually a real human being.
Hawk is.
I don't know.
Johnny is.
But that's why he's here, because as long as Powdered Toast Man is here, you know, I keep thinking, you got to fire this idiot, and they haven't yet.
No, that's what I'm saying. And the McCaskey family, hey, man, Packers-Bears is a big thing. Lovie Smith got here, right? And he was all about, got to beat the Packers. Matt LaFleur just said in his press conference yesterday, he showed a video to his team of old Packer-Bear highlights, kind of showing them a little bit of what the rivalry is all about. I don't know if that's going on in Chicago or not, but from a Green Bay perspective, they still play into it a little bit, obviously knowing it's the Bears, it's not the Lions or whatever, but they still try to educate their team a little bit.
I will say this, though, is if that were to happen, that means the Bears are a much better team than we've seen out of the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk about the wins all you want, but when recent ones also indicate Carolina and Jacksonville, that would be a huge step up.
For sure.
That would mean something has gone right for the team. And that's the part of this that I feel like is worth discussing. This is a team that should have a much better record after this part of the schedule, knowing that all of the conference games are coming up now.
This is my thing. I don't understand how DJ Moore can sign an extension and essentially walk off the field during a play. And Xavier McKinney took his shot at DJ Moore, and DJ Moore said, oh, it's trash talk, fine, whatever, we'll see what happens on the field. I'm sorry. If you sign an extension, I expect you to be a team guy and be in. You knew you were getting a rookie quarterback. You knew what you were getting yourself into. And again, because you guys were on Hard Knocks, I really got to see an inside look kind of what was going on. We talked about Hard Knocks every week. My producer, Charlie Usen, we call him Chicago Charlie, brainwashed as a child. His dad grew up in Wrigleyville. So lived in Wisconsin his whole life, played high school football, played college football at Elmhurst. So he's a big Chicago fan. So we talked about it every week. I would be livid. Like, if I was Ryan Poles, I would have grabbed DJ Moore and said, you do that again, I swear to God, I'll trade you to the Panthers, and you will love life again.
Okay, a couple of questions in that regard. One, the Packers have had their own disciplinary issues this year. Mm-hmm. So describe the way Matt LaFleur handled those issues, especially on the timeline. How could, did he put his finger to the wind and wait for to hear everything out there? What are they saying? Or did the Packers act with a different kind of alacrity?
I mean, in general, with him and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, they're usually pretty aggressive in taking care of issues as they happen. Like Jair Alexander, it was last year, it was the Panther game. He goes running out there. Wasn't supposed to be out there. Well, I thought they knew. I'm from here and I need to be out there, whatever. And they took care of that quickly. They brought him in. They had a talk. They did what they had to do. And he was a completely different person for the rest of the season. Then it was, well, how's he going to be when he comes back? He's been a team guy. Haven't had any issues with him. Now he's been battling injuries and not being able to stay healthy. But from that, you get it. The other part of this, I think, is that helps. With all due respect, different to Chicago, is this team's won for a long time. So from a player perspective, they want to be here because they want to be in the playoffs every year. They want a chance to be at a Super Bowl. So when they say something, I think players maybe listen a little bit more. When you're in an organization that hasn't won in a while and has been known to do crazy things and not get things done, I think that respect level is probably a little bit different from a player standpoint.
You mentioned the point that has been made about several Chicago quarterbacks, the last two for sure, the holding on to the ball so long aspect. That's something that we've examined when it comes to having a defensive coach in Matt Eberflus and coaching your quarterbacks to be afraid to throw an interception. That is the worst thing in the world. Jordan Love has 10. How much is that affecting his mental process and his risk-taking ability this season?
Well, that's a tricky thing that you bring up, because what's happening is I feel like Packer fans are using Brett Favre as a weapon, as a negative weapon, because he's throwing so many interceptions. Oh, great. We have another Brett. Well, the problem is he's following Aaron Rodgers, who refused to take any type of chance unless right. It was Devontae Adams, right? So anybody that throws any type of interceptions after Rodgers is going to look horrible. Decision-making is a big thing for Jordan Love. There's no question. It's something he has to work on. The offensive coordinator yesterday was asked, Stanovich was asked, do you think injuries are playing into it? No. It has nothing to do with, you know, making the right decision. And he has to do better at it. I think he'll be fine. I think what you guys are dealing with Fields and Caleb Williams, and I don't know if it gets better because I don't think Justin Fields has gotten better. It's, you know, reading, reacting, and being able to make the throw. And we were just talking about it off the air here about Quay Walker, the linebacker for the Packers, who I feel is very similar to a quarterback. You have to read and react quickly at a linebacker. And if you hesitate and you don't do that and you're not aggressive, you're not going to get to where you want to go. That's his problem, and I think that's a quarterback's problem. But again, I'm not a quarterback. I just don't know if that ever gets better.
Sparky, I read this the other day, and as we let you go, just a little bit of food for thought here, and I found it fascinating. And this was a Bears fan who said, if we're really being honest about the Bears and the quarterback wilderness and everything they've been through, it ended. The Bears' glory ended the moment Charles Martin threw Jim McMahon down on his shoulder. November 23rd. 1986.
Hell yeah.
Nothing has been the same since that.
I'll be honest. When y'all got Jay Cutler, I thought you were going to be something. I really doesn't.
I did.
Man,
too.
They finally got a quarterback. Here
too.
We go. And Rami Makhlouf, who fills in on this station, was with me at that time in Milwaukee. And I was like, here you go, Rami. You finally got somebody since McMahon. And it just never ended up. You got Charles Woodson saying same old Jay after he throws another interception and that type of stuff. Yeah, the Charles Martin thing. I remember watching that. He had a long towel on. He had Willie Gault's number on there. I don't know.
He had a written hit list in Sharpie on his towel.
How was he going to catch Willie Gault? Come on.
Especially now.
Yes.
Have you seen Willie Gault lately? He's still winning like Masters sprint tournaments.
It's like Jerry Rice. They just never get out of shape. They're always in peak physical condition. Yeah.
Terrell Owens the same way.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, there's part of me that says, does it take the McCaskies to sell it in order to get the karma to change? For the Bucks, Herb Cole sold. We have new owners. And all of a sudden, Giannis appears, and we win a championship. I wonder if it's just change of ownership.
Yeah, talk about fire.
Yeah, what's happening there?
With the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We've been examining that a little bit.
This is the thing. Everybody's mad about, you know, Lillard versus Drew Holiday and so forth. Mm-hmm. But, guys, the problem is Giannis. 5 of 6 years, he's been hurt in the playoffs. He was hurt the year they won the championship, but Trae Young got hurt. That's how you were able to get to Phoenix, and then Giannis came back, and you won. Middleton is never healthy. They got Lillard to be the score for when Giannis goes out.
But
that's kind of the
guard
deal,
anybody.
Right?
Yeah.
But Middleton is hurt still.
Yep.
So you still haven't had the big three available. Doc Rivers' teams do not stink in the regular season. It's been like over a decade since he's had a losing record in the regular season. They'll figure it out. They'll be fine. But they have to be healthy. And when you're older, health can be an issue.
Eastern Conference is a kind conference to play in, at least for these guys. You got to get to like the 11th place team before there's a sub-500 in the West.
Sparky, thank you so much. And I just want to say I'm really happy, and I think it's great for Milwaukee and great for Odyssey that 105.7 The Fan is back doing its thing.
I'm happy, too, because I get to talk about the Trader and the Cubs. So it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the record spoke for itself now, didn't it?
You know he's a terrific guy, right?
He's a traitor.
Oh, stop. No. Stop being a meatball.
I don't reference that man by name on my show.
Oh,
traitor. No, absolutely not. I told people they should boo that dude in the grocery store if he wants to live in Wisconsin.
Ouch. Really?
Yes.
I don't want him to do that.
Man, you should see that they had marketing videos of Craig Council. See, I'm saying it. I'm on the score. Of that dude being in videos talking about, I'm just like you. I grew up a Brewers fan. I was in the Brewers clubhouse.
But that's what people say for marketing.
But I think
get out of here.
I don't think he's lying.
I don't
get
think he is
here.
Either.
Right. I think he
get
meant
out
it.
Here. No. No, I'm done.
Okay.
Brett Favre and the Trader. Same thing.
All right. There we go. That is Sparky Pfeiffer of The Fan. And when we come back, we're going to do a deep dive into some of what is going on in the developmental hiccups of Caleb Williams, what can be fixed, and how they're going to do it. So we'll discuss. You should be at the Broad Stop because we're at the Broad Stop. And you should bring a gently worn, a brand new coat. And you'll get a $1 off coupon. One coupon per customer. This is brought to you by Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha for a great experience. Visit ZieglerSubaru.com and Potawatomi Sportsbook. Back with more Bears talk next on The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.